Yeah, welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Well, I guess I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
It's always a good way to answer the question, how you doing? So I went out to dinner last night with my buddy, my former sports editor, Vince Ellis. We went to Dearborn to a place called M Cantina, which is a great Mexican restaurant. Downtown Dearborn is a really cool little area, not far from downtown Detroit. And they had all these sauces for the stuff, and it's in order of hotness. So all the way to El Diablo, which, of course, I'm not touching El Diablo. So I grabbed one a little bit, probably too close down there. I thought it was about the fourth hottest, but actually then as I figured it out, because it's kind of, you know, it's in threes, I guess it was the second hottest. It was called Ghost Pepper.
Oh, God.
And I didn't have a lot. I just dipped a little bit. It tasted very good, but it was very, very hot. So two Pepsids and waking up every hour with acid shooting out of my mouth later, feeling great. I'm just an absolute idiot. Just an absolute idiot. I mean, there's nothing else I can say. I mean, how stupid can you be?
Ghost pepper. That's
ghost,
not good,
ghost
man.
Ghost pepper. What do you, yeah, ghost pepper. I mean, that's a great decision when you're 25. My God.
Oh, good gracious.
I don't think so.
Sounds terrible.
Well, probably even then not, but yeah, certainly not now.
Keiser, did you avoid ghost pepper yesterday? How are we doing?
I did, yes. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what to say. Oh, my gosh. Joe, just take care of yourself, all right?
I mean, it's just like stuff like that. Like, how do you still make these decisions, you know?
You just shouldn't do it.
I know. Someone's okay. Asking, waiting on an apology for me on the text line, too.
About
a lot
what?
A lot of that going around. I have no idea.
Still Stillman?
I don't know.
You going to get one? Is it happening today?
What, for John Hines?
Yeah.
No. I mean, even okay. Caroline, you know, laughed at him, although she gave him a false win yesterday, but yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're with us this morning, Joe. He's got his coffee. He's ready to go. He's recovering from ghost pepper yesterday, but you've powered through and you've made it to the show. This is why you're what I think one thing we know about you. When somebody looks up the definition of professionalism in the dictionary, Joe Rexrow's face comes up. That's what it is.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's, yeah, I mean, with capital P, yeah.
Oh, boy, we got a lot to get into on the program here today. Dana O'Neill from The Athletic will join us at 7:30. We'll get her thoughts on the tournament. The Vols matched up against Creighton. Looking forward to that coming up this weekend. Late tomorrow night, so late Friday night matchup for the Vols against Creighton in the Sweet 16. Charles Robinson joins us from 8 to 8:30, as he does every Thursday morning. We'll get into all things NFL with him and some Titans thoughts as well, coming off the owners' meetings, the rule changes down there, all those things coming up with Charles from 8 to 8:30. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Arizona Coyotes on the road. We begin there, Joe. So the point streak still intact. You're at 18 games in a row. And the question that I think is, I have been very hesitant to really go there and say yes on. I'm starting to wonder, like, I guess it depends on the definition of what you really mean by it. But a lot of Predators fans are throwing it out there. I've seen Jared throw it out there. So it's worth discussing at this point when you're on the run that they're on. How much of a Stanley Cup contender are the Nashville Predators? It is kind of amazing to even ask that question, given what most of the season looked like up until this streak here. But 16-0-2, and not just 16-0-2, 16-0-2 beating Winnipeg and beating Colorado and beating Vegas twice during that stretch. I mean, there's a lot of really impressive wins that they've had. So are the Nashville Predators a Stanley Cup contender? How do you define Stanley Cup contender? And where do you think the Predators kind of fit in that conversation as we continue to try to sort through what this all means as the playoffs are right around the corner?
Well, first of all, this argument yesterday, Jared was debating between one of two outcomes. Is it the Stanley Cup final that they lose in, or the Western Conference final? That's
Yeah, that's pretty much where he's gotten to.
where he is. Like, I mean, he actually, like, Caroline said prediction, and I said, okay, I'm going to predict that they'll lose in 7 games to Dallas. And he's like, was like out of his mind. Like, how could you possibly think that? I'm like, well, I mean, it'll be game 7 in Dallas. You don't think it's possible that they lose? It's now not possible that they lose. So I do feel like there's some, like, I did a mailbag this week and someone was like, how could, do you think there's anyone who could beat them in a 7-game series? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, okay, let's easy now. But,
Yeah.
you know, look, so they're going to end up with, what's the projection on points? I mean, they're going to end up over 100 points.
Most likely, yes.
Right. I mean, and I don't know that that's necessarily how you draw the line. I mean, I think so much of it is also like in your conference, like, is there, you know, 'cause some years it, there is like there, some years there is just an overwhelming team, you're right. And maybe Colorado ends up being that again in this postseason. But at this point, even though we both agree that's the team to avoid, you know, I look at the field and I just don't see an impossible mission. That would be the toughest one. So if you don't see something where you're like again, 2 years ago, it was like, well, you just have no chance against them, you know, and that's who they drew, and they didn't have Saros, and we know what happened. But if you don't believe that there's like an insurmountable opponent, then I think isn't that automatically an answer of yes?
I think so. I mean, I do think there are degrees to it, right? Like if you ask most people, hey, identify the Stanley Cup contenders out of the Western Conference, it's probably going to be a second before you get to the Predators, right? Like people are going to say Colorado, and they're going to say Edmonton, and they're going to say Vegas, and they're going to say Dallas. I mean, the Predators, I mean, they may be the seventh or eighth team that you list off in the West before you actually get there. So, like, to me, there's different tiers of it. Do I think the Predators are capable of going on a run based on what I've seen? Yes, I do. So by that definition, then yeah, I guess they are a Stanley Cup contender because if you told me right now that they were going to end up in the Western Conference Final, then I would not be shocked by it based on the way that they're playing. I would still probably be a little bit surprised by it, but I would not be shocked by that information. But like, look, if you told me right now Colorado was going to win the Stanley Cup, I'd say, yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. So I think there are different degrees to it. I agree with you from this standpoint. Like a couple years ago when the Predators got matched up against Colorado in the first round, which I think was good enough for me by itself to say no. And especially when Saros couldn't play, like it was like, no, they have no chance. They're not going to win this series. They're not going to make a deep run in the playoffs without UC Saros. It's just not going to happen. And this year's team is not that. Like, knock on wood, for the most part, they stay healthy coming down the stretch here. They're playing as good as anybody in the league right now. All the numbers bear that out. So I do think that's different. Like, everybody says every year, well, just make it to the playoffs and anything could happen. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's not. Like anything could not have happened with the Predators a couple of years ago with that team. I think we all know that. This year's team, I think it is a little bit different. And I'm starting to ask myself, like, how deep can this thing go? Some of it I do think is matchup dependent, but that's the case every year, Joe. Like there are good matchups for teams, there are bad matchups for teams, and some of it is luck of the draw in the playoffs as to who's there and who's not in determining when you make a deep run.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look, can they, like, are they a contender? You know, if the question is that, I have to say yes. Will they win it? No, I'm going to say no. You know, like, will they get to the cup final? I'm going to guess no. I'm going to predict no. But yeah, look, like you said, I mean, sometimes in these discussions, it's almost like the Titans discussion. Like last year, how often do we say, God, these national media people picking the Titans to win 5 games, you know, and then we all look like total homers. I mean, go look around the league commentary right now. You know, the underlying numbers, I mean, it all tells you, like, it's been sustained long enough now that you can't just dismiss it, you know? And so, And there's also the peaking too early thing. And it's there. I will go back to that St. Louis team. That just was just it just did not stop. And they had that awful song that kept playing over and over again. I don't hopefully this team has a better song if we find out about that.
They got to pick a U2 song for the playoff song, right? Like, just find one.
That's a great idea. I'm getting a little bit upset when I see C-Mace with all these FU2 tour thing. I'm like, oh, calm down. No need to say FU2, That's a great idea. I got a bunch of ideas. I can come up with a top 10 list of them for U2 songs I can use.
You might
That's
need to submit that to it because, like, I think at this point you got to lean into it a little bit. If you're gonna come up with like a playoff victory song, they blast a song every time they win a game. We gotta start getting some U2 in there. I don't even know what it is right now that they're blasting because we're kept off in media jail now waiting to get in there. So I couldn't tell you what the concert song what the song is anymore, but it's gotta be U2. Gotta lean into it.
This is a good idea to try to find out about a little bit, Like, is there are they listening to like this anything over and over again? God, I hope it's not bad. I mean, Gloria, good Lord. Oh.
That's a bad one. I
But
forgot about
that
Gloria.
team,
You get
yeah, but
Brett Hall's drunk self in the Stanley Cup, right?
oh my
Gloria.
God. Good God. But that team, they were hot for what? 5 straight months, 4 straight months, right?
Much.
I mean, from awful to, oh, they're unbeatable again, over and over again. So, yeah, I don't know. The peaking too early thing, if you find a formula to win, keep doing that.
Hey, Ryan O'Reilly was on that team. 615
Yes, he
737
was.
1025, our phone number. 615 737 1025. Are the Nashville Predators a Stanley Cup contender? How do you define Stanley Cup contender? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615 737 1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Throwing the question out there, are the Nashville Predators a Stanley Cup contender? What does it mean to be a Stanley Cup contender in the Western Conference? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, when the playoffs come around, and the Predators are going to be in the playoffs, when the playoffs come around, and we see who they're matched up against, it is going to be interesting to me to see how popular, I guess, of an upset pick they are around the league. Because, I mean, look, even if this point streak ends, which it is probably going to before the playoffs come around here at some point, they will be one of the hotter teams in the league heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's always interesting to see how this plays out because, in all likelihood, they're either going to be wild card one, wild card two, maybe the third spot in the Central Division. We'll see if Winnipeg gets their stuff back together. By the way, Winnipeg and Vegas tonight, so that's a big game if you're a Predators fan outside of your own against Arizona tonight to be watching the team in front of you and the team that's directly behind you in the standings right now playing against each other tonight. So we'll see what happens on that front. I hear this all the time about teams that are, either the last couple of teams in a wild card spot or the team that makes the playoffs on the last day. This happens all the time of like, can they make a deep run? Who can be like the LA Kings from 2012? And I said it last segment. I think there are varying degrees to it. Like a lot of people say, did anybody expect Florida to make a run to the Stanley Cup final last year? And the answer is no, but the answer is no because of who they were matched up against in the first round. And that was the Boston Bruins, who had just set a record for how many games they won in the regular season. The year before that, the Florida Panthers won the President's Trophy. So, like, we've always known that there's a certain talent level that they had, right? Like the St. Louis Blues, as you laid out, were one of the hottest teams in the league the entire second half of the season. Like the back part of the season, Jordan Binnington was out of his mind, and they were actually a pretty good team by the metrics before that. They just couldn't get a save. Like even the Predators in 2017, yes, they were the quote unquote last team to get in the playoffs in the Western Conference. But the year before that, They had gone 7 games with Anaheim and won. They had gone 7 games with San Jose and won. And you could see that they were clearly building something, which is why heading into that season after they traded for PK Subban, there were people picking them to go to the Stanley Cup final. There were people picking them to win the Stanley Cup. So there's always, I think, lack of context around these discussions when these lower seeded teams make it to the cup final and make a deep run in the playoffs. Yes, there are times where it legitimately comes out of nowhere, but there are also, like, when you look at these teams sometimes, some underlying circumstances and some recent history that would indicate to you that they were about to put it together. Like Florida last year is not your typical 8 seed when they're the same group that won the President's Trophy the year before. Having said all that, this Predators team doesn't qualify for that, right? Like they would be one of those teams where there were no expectation. The expectation was for them to be bad, and they put it together in the second half of the season. And if they were to make a deep run, it would kind of be out of nowhere. And it's kind of interesting to watch how all these come together, because I feel like the Stanley Cup playoffs, more than any other sport, you see some of these lower seeded teams catch fire and go on deep runs. And I couldn't tell you why that is, but it happens a lot in this sport.
Well, it's a great point about Boston, because it really counters even my last, what I was saying last segment. I mean, it's like, do you see a dominant team? Well, we did last year. It still didn't matter, right? So I mean, if you really dig in, let's look at it this way. If you went through, let's say, okay, so let's go to the East, top eight teams: Bruins, Panthers, Leafs, Lightning, Rangers, Canes, Flyers, and now the Capitals are that would be that last team. Of those teams I just listed, how many do you consider to be Stanley Cup contenders?
I would say I don't think the Leafs are. I don't think the Flyers are, and I don't think the Capitals are. Every other
Okay.
team, I would say yes.
Okay. So yeah, I'm with you. Rangers, Canes, Panthers, Bruins, Lightning. You're counting the line. I mean, it's hard. You can't just discount them, right? I mean,
Yeah,
like,
I'm
there's
counting them.
too much championship DNA there. Okay, so I mean, I'm certainly counting. I mean, I have to count the Canucks as one. I have to count the Oilers as one. I have to count Vegas as one. Av Stars. I mean, so there's five, right? And so, I mean, I can't sit here and say that. I mean, we're talking about the Preds. I can't sit here and say the Jets couldn't go on a run. I mean, is it everybody but the Kings? I don't know. What do you think about the Kings? I
I
mean,
don't
they've won
trust their
four in a row.
goaltending. Yeah, I mean,
Okay.
they're good. I don't trust their goaltending. I mean, it's not impossible, but I would not include the Kings in there. That's just me. But
So that would
I
be
think it,
12 of 16 right there that we would say yes for.
correct. Which
So,
that, I mean,
but
you
that's how
can't do
wild
that
this
in the,
tournament is.
right, like you can't do that in the NBA playoffs.
No,
I
it's a
mean,
lot shorter list.
I would love in the NFL playoffs, you probably not. Like you probably there's probably it is a little different in the NFL because it's one game and weird things happen. But for the most part, you got a pretty decent idea of who's going to make a run most years in the NFL playoffs. So for whatever reason, like that, and that's part of what makes this so fun is this playoff, this tournament is oftentimes very unpredictable. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, but it's like a yearly thing. It always feels like there's one team that just comes out of nowhere and makes a deep run that nobody's counting on.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The Preds would be the team that I think there will be some momentum for that. What does that mean? Is that because, in 17 there was none, and I think I don't know. I have a feeling that like the entire world picking an easy series for Chicago may have been a little edge for that team, right? And I'm trying to remember like when the Blues started the playoffs in 19. Like, was it, like how many people were picking them to still like actually continue and make that run? I think there was still some skepticism, wasn't there? It
I
seems like
think
it.
so. Yeah, I think there was. I'm trying to remember who they even played in the first round. I'll go look it up. But there was some, the skepticism was on Bennington, right? Of like,
Yeah.
okay, this has been a nice story, but can he do it in the playoffs? Because it's different in the playoffs.
And it's just wild, that whole story, because yes, And that, but still, it was like kind of an out of body experience for, you know, all the way to the end. And just, you know, like not really who he is, you know?
Right.
I mean, you just, and you just don't know that this happens in this tournament. It is, I mean, we've dunked on the whole just get in, you have a chance, because it just isn't always true. Again, 2 years ago, you know, that team wasn't going to do anything. And so, like, there are teams, I think, every year where it's just like happy to be in and quick fodder for a high seed and you're out of there. But there are a lot more teams than not that have some kind of a chance.
Well, and the interesting part about this team, and I kind of laid it out yesterday, they've got so much playoff experience, the Predators. Like when you break down their players, I mean, Ryan McDonagh, I think outside of Corey Perry, has the most playoff experience in the league.
That's
Ryan
correct.
O'Reilly's got a ton of playoff experience. Forsberg, Josi, Sissons, Nyquist, Zucker. I mean, but even Beauvillier. Like Beauvillier, you don't think of an experienced player, but he's made two really deep runs with the Islanders. The
Right.
one guy, I mean, not the one guy, but one guy that's going to play a critical role here that doesn't have a ton of experience is Saros, and that's interesting. Like, I mean, he played, I thought, really well against Carolina in that series where they gave Carolina all they could handle. But that's basically the playoff experience that Saros has. I mean, outside of, I guess, the bubble in Arizona or in Edmonton against Arizona, if you want to count that. But as a starter, there's not much playoff experience for Saros, but the lineup around him with what they're icing out there right now has got a ton of it.
Yeah, and I yeah, sure. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he certainly doesn't have any kind of experience of an extended time in the postseason. But I do think that that last time out was awfully impressive. When I suggested, I guess, what did I say? He stood on his head. Joe, is that you? Hello, Joe.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yes,
Joe
coach. Yes,
Rule.
coach.
Was that the Joe Rule night?
Joe Rule? I think Joe Rule was the bubble year, which was
Oh,
awesome.
was it?
I
Oh,
think
okay.
so.
All
And
right.
then John
A lot of
Hines
Zoom.
thinking you were taking a shot, I guess, at the goaltending was maybe one of the
Well, no,
greatest things I've ever seen.
he thought I was taking a shot at the team. He's like, "Well, I thought we played well." I'm like, "I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying he was amazing." I was basically like, "Isn't it a shame to lose a game when your goalie plays like that?" Which it was.
Joe? Joe? Is that you? Joe?
I apologize. I apologize to Jared. Right then, I should have said worst coach in the history of sports.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Predators coming up next. Are the Nashville Predators a Stanley Cup contender heading into the playoffs? We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Missouri with pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe Rexroad, just minutes away from Canada. If you'd go across the river up there, Joe, we could do our first out of country experience here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, first international show.
International
Yeah,
show. That's the word I was looking for.
just tweeted out a nice picture of yeah, I'm on the 67th floor of the Renaissance Center. Sunrise coming up, so I got the Detroit River, got Detroit on the left, I got Canada on the right, got the I mean, I'm right now I am so this place, this hotel, it's the Renaissance Center and the Marriott and all this stuff. It's the Joe Louis Fist is right here, but it's also the tunnel, right? So, you know, it's a brilliant system where, you know, you can drink at 19 in Windsor. So all the
Yeah.
kids, you know, go drive over, you know, go over and go party for the night and then drive back to America. I mean, I don't know if it's still like as easy as it used to be, but it's kind of a, you know, kind of a problematic,
Yeah.
you know, situation there. But beautiful. Beautiful city, two beautiful cities and a beautiful river, and Belle Isle right in the middle. Belle Isle, you can go in the summer and get a Ferris wheel, get a little roller coaster. Been out there for a wedding, very nice.
Very scenic background for Joe Rexroad this morning here on the program.
Yep.
Cody on Twitter throwing it out to the Preds. Can they get enough scoring from the second, third, and fourth lines come playoff time? Are they strong enough slash healthy enough defensively to shut down or slow down other teams' first, second, and power play units? And is the goaltending going to stand on its head? Those are questions I don't know the answer to. I tell you the one I feel pretty good about is defensively. Like if they are healthy defensively, they have unlocked a formula here where they are just smothering teams. And it is different in the playoffs. I think naturally in the playoffs, Joe, the offense goes down a little bit because, I mean, teams are just, they're fighting for every square inch of ice available. So it is more difficult to score. But I feel like the Predators, with the way that they've defended, I mean, they put this up. Mike Kelly, a friend of the show, who put this up on the NHL Network again yesterday, they continue to be, throughout this stretch, the number one team in the NHL of expected goals against and the number one team in the NHL of actual goals allowed against. So they are clamping down defensively, and it ain't just the goaltending, which has been good through this stretch, but defensively they've been the best team in the NHL. So I feel pretty good about that heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, and to Cody's point, the healthy, I mean, that appears that's coming along. So they kind of got are getting through that stuff now and should be in good shape there. And obviously that clamping down on what they're doing, I think they're fourth in goals expected goals for, right? I think
Correct.
fourth. Yeah. So I mean it's all I mean any number you want to look at during the stretch tells you elite team. Doesn't mean it's gonna those numbers are gonna look the exact same way once the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, but it has been quite a while now of that level of play.
Well, and to Cody's point, one thing that they're going to have, secondary scoring is a big part of it, no question. And if you're going to make a deep run, you have to have secondary scoring. We saw that in 2017 when, Cody McLeod scoring goals and Vern Fiddler scoring goals and Freddie Gaudreau and all these different people. So you have to have that in the playoffs. But I feel like for this team specifically, you also can't have what you saw against Dallas in 2019, and that is your top guys just totally shut down. Like, to me, if they're going to do anything in the playoffs, a large part of it is probably going to be because Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Philip Forsberg, and I'll throw Roman Josi in there on the backside, like those guys offensively continue to play at the level they're at right now. Like that to me is going to be a requirement if they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Right. And you now if you think of well, you think of all you can think of other teams too, but you think of like the Preds in the past, how much of an emphasis on okay, now you gotta get that really strong, that number two center, and you gotta have that second line that can make it so it's not so easy for opponents to concentrate their efforts on one line in the postseason. Kyle Turk. Yeah, I don't mean to bring up all the we know all that happened, but that's why it's such a focal point for the postseason, right? To be able to have a and this team and that's where that's a fair thing to look at with this team and say, okay, so once you get to the playoffs and it is different, and there's gonna be so much emphasis on stopping that line. What line steps up? And because I mean, you're right, they have to produce, of course, but also what line steps up in a playoff series and kind of take some of that pressure off.
Exactly. And can you, like, to me in the playoffs, it's probably not going to be the same line every night in terms of, like, you know what you want from Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist, but like on a different game by game basis, you're going to need it from, Kiefer Sherwood here. You're going to need it from Luke Evangelista there. Like it's a different line kind of every night that has to happen in the playoffs in order for you to do it. I mean, ideally, you want all four of them going all the time, but that's not realistic in the playoffs. So you need timely goals from different players. Like, look, nobody's going to talk about it because the way it transpired and kind of flipped the other way. But the Predators had all sorts of chances the other nights against Vegas. Like, Evangelista hit a post, Novak hit a post. The goalie made an unbelievable save on Novak, made a breakaway save on Tyson Barrie. And then finally, it was Mark Jankowski who had a great shot. I mean, he just ripped it right under the bar, and he scored. He kind of got the offense going. I know they gave up another goal after that on a play where Jeremy Lozon kind of got chicken winged, and that created an offensive rush the other way. But like, Jankowski is the one that gets the scoring started and breaks through, and you're going to need guys like that to come through offensively in the playoffs. And look, Roman Josi's been playing great. One guy that's also, I mean, the offensive numbers have been really good that you don't expect right now. Like Ryan McDonough's putting up a lot of points through this stretch. I think he's got 14 points through this 18-game stretch, which you don't necessarily expect. So that's what you also need is like involvement from your back end offensively, and it can't just be Roman Josi.
Yeah, no, and look, when team, first of all, when team, if you go on a run, you absolutely better expect that people are going to get hurt along the way in that run, right? So,
Yes.
yeah, I mean that's another part of this. I mean, if you want to talk about guys chipping in, and it's just I know it's just like this constant going back to 2017, but. Let's see, off the top of my head, Zolnarchuk, Cody McLeod had like the biggest goal of the game in a win over St. Louis. Did Parenteau have a big goal? Did Mika Salamaki have a big goal?
Aberg.
Yeah, Pontus Aberg's out there. I mean, we called him Pontus Aberg at the time.
Yeah.
We didn't even know he was Pontus Aberg yet. I mean, on and on and on with that team. Just guys kind of out. And obviously, Freddie Gaudreau. Coming in and doing what he did. So you're going to have some of that, some of that. And that's part of like a special thing. But, because that team, I mean, as I recall it too, like they really did. I mean, they had obviously the top line that, with the bad name. And even like before they got hurt, I mean, I feel like they were kind of rolling four lines for a lot of that.
They were.
They obviously like Fiala was really good before he got hurt, right? So they had that line going. Craig Smith's coming. I mean, that's what you're gonna have to have just a collective, contribution. But still, and Arvidsson didn't have a great postseason, as I recall. But obviously, Johansson and Forsberg were really good.
Really, really good. JC in Gillettsville says, do you think Stasny could have wedged himself into the top six D-men for the playoffs? Had he not gotten hurt, the answer to that is yes, I do think so, and I still wouldn't count that out if he gets back before the end of the regular season here, which I think he will. I mean, he's skating right now, and he's skating with the team, so I don't think he's that far away from being back in there. Look, I mean, his skating ability separates him. There's no question. Like in a league where there's a lot of really good skaters, I watched Spencer Stastny skate. I'm like, man, that kid can skate. And that kind of tells you something about what he brings to the table back there. So I still, Joe, would not discount the possibility of him being a having a significant role with this team.
Yeah, and beyond him, one thing this team has, I mean, they have these guys with experience, as we talked about. They're rolling right now, the lineup, they're happy with it. I mean, there are some guys that can come up if there are injuries that, could really help. I mean, like you tell me like Tomasino couldn't in a pinch come in and give you something, Parson it,
Sure.
I mean, there are some guys that they have that have been up with the team, have been in the lineup, have talent that can account as some quality depth if they do sustain this for a while.
Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025, the game, and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
Believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
A lot of ways this could go. There's some scandal out there. There's some stuff I've already ranted about. I'm going to go best because I just don't know what's going to happen here in the D next year. My best is Tennessee Volunteers getting to the Sweet 16, doing it despite shooting terribly. The shooting terribly part is, not what you want, but I think there was a lot of toughness and grit and a poise demonstrated by that team. And again, especially with 7 free throws in a row made in the last 48 seconds, big time pressure, especially 3 straight from your big guy. That's, that's not something that a lot of teams can count on. So look, you're talking about 2 straight Sweet 16s. You're talking about 10 in the history of the program, and Rick Barnes has 3 of them now. So there's, it's not all regular season Rick around here. So we'll see how they do this weekend. My worst, I'm going to go to the other Tennessee basketball program. And, they had some injuries. Destiny Wells got hurt this year. But the bottom line is Rekia Jackson, she's going to be, I think, a top 3 pick in the WNBA draft. She is a special talent. Kelly Harper got her out of the portal, Mississippi State formerly, and Tamari Key got through the blood clots and was healthy this year. And it's just being okay. It's just not good enough for that program. And they have settled into basically being about a 22-11 or so program under Kelly Harper. And there are worse things, but for this week, I think there is a little bit of a microscope on where that program is going now with those great players moving on. And at what point do you have to really take a look at the direction of the program?
Yep, absolutely. Nick Keyes, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, well, I want to start off with a short soundbite that I have for you guys. I found this on Twitter yesterday. And this was from the air traffic control tower here in Nashville. So I'll let you hear it, see if you can hear what they say, and I'll let you know.
South 8954, turn via Alpha to South Cargo.
Right turn, Alpha to South Cargo, Delta 8954.
South 8954, who'd you bring in?
Golden Max.
Remind them that the Preds are on fire.
Wilco.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys could hear that.
I like that.
But the air traffic control tower was letting them know, hey, the Preds are hot right now. Yeah, I thought that was a good thing to find yesterday for sure. I think the other greatest thing for me that I was going to say was I think Ryan O'Reilly's quote needs to be on a T-shirt here pretty soon. His Swedish meatballs. My gosh, what a great quote.
Yeah, I didn't expect that one the other day.
No, not at all.
That reminds me of my line name, but we can get to that later.
All right. Oh, okay. I like it. And the worst, when the times came out for the next games in the NCAA tournament, why in the world does Tennessee have to draw another late game? Joe, I'm kind of just on this pathway for you, kind of vouching for you because you've been doing a lot of work lately.
Thank you, Nick.
That time's going to suck. Golly.
At least it's Friday.
I guess. That's right.
But at least you guys are in Central Time. For Central Time people, at least it's kind of human. But think about that. Tonight you got is it Illinois Iowa State tonight? Nice 10:20 Eastern start on a Thursday night. Yay!
With a 2-3 seed, it's awesome. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Well done by the NCAA. My best thing is specifically the Predators game the other day. The comeback win against the Vegas Golden Knights is awesome. I mean, it's one of those games that I think you remember for a long time if you're there. We talked about that yesterday. When you have 82 regular season games, 41 regular season home games, sometimes they kind of run together after a while. I think most people are going to remember that one, being at that one the other day against the Vegas Golden Knights and the game being the way it is. Honorable mention to Rand Carthon, who I think is doing a great job on paper so far this offseason. So Rand Carthon, the honorable mention of my best thing in sports. The worst thing in sports, I got to say it, your boy Draymond keeps getting kicked out, man. I don't know what's going on. He got kicked out again 3 minutes into the game, and I'm starting to get a little worried about him. I mean, is he trying to get kicked out of the league? What's going on here with Draymond?
No, it's fair. I mean, it's funny because ESPN.com, the top thing is Steph Curry shakes his head
I saw that.
As Draymond gets bounced. The thing is, I do think that he, after all the stuff, it seemed like he came back and kind of, figured it out. But I mean, you gotta just, I mean, like that early in a game, you're going to go that ballistic on an official. I mean,
he's 3 minutes in.
It sucks, but it's a lack of control, and it's a good worst because it's hard to watch sometimes.
It is. William from Madison on the text line says, the best is the start of Major League Baseball. The worst is the Braves game already rained out. That is true. Braves were supposed to play today, and that's not happening. So, that's, I mean, rainouts are bad anytime, but, like, opening day rainouts have to be the worst, Joe.
Yes, no, opening day rainouts suck. I've been a part of, like, being excited to go to opening day, and then it got rained out long ago. Speaking of that, so today's opening day for the Tigers, which I saw, like, it was something, you know, I was watching something on Twitter or whatever. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, they play at 3. I'm like, dude, I'm blowing off interviews. I'm going to freaking open today. I don't care. I got Comerica Park right here. Then I'm like, oh, no, they're in Chicago. Okay, all right. That would have been wild for them to have opening day here while also having the NCAA tournament. So, yeah.
Been a lot going on.
That would have been a little much.
Is this is this going to be the year for your Tigers? How are we feeling?
I mean, no. But they might be. They might not be complete trash. They have a chance to not be total trash. So, we'll take that.
I have a pretty good feeling that what we're about to talk about next here on the program, Joe, could be considered the worst thing in sports for a lot of a certain fan base around here. We'll put it that way. Some news on the coaching front in the SEC world that I think some people are going to laugh at, some people are going to be very upset about. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3.